Divrei Torah should be Le'ile Nishmas. Four individuals who have yahrzeit tonight: Yaakov ben Nachum Tzvi, Alexander ben Reb Shraga Feivish, Chaim Tzvi Shlomo ben Gershon, and Esther Bas Meshulam Meir. They should have a Gevaldika Aliyah in Gan Eden Shalmaila, and they should always have a schus from our Divrei Torah. Just to catch up on where we're up to. So we began last night briefly with an introduction, and tonight is also still going to be the introduction. We're not up to the answer yet. Someone asked a shaila this week in the shul. They wanted to know that they personally daven Nusach Svard, and now they happen to be in Avelus, and they daven for the Amud. So the question that was raised was, may I daven in my quiet Shmona Esrei Nusach Svard, even though I'm going to recite the Chazar Sashat in Nusach Ashkenaz? So, seemingly, I don't see anything wrong with it, but I promised him I would look into it. And after some research, it seems that it's not so simple. So yesterday we gave a little bit of a hakdama about the value of having a diversified community, the value of having many different neschos, like the Shalah HaKadosh writes, that are Yud Beis Sha'arim and Shamayim, Yud Beis Shvatim, each Shevet has its own way, its own venue of approaching the Ribbono Shel Olam and its own way of Avodas Hashem. So we discussed that last night. So now, let's get a little bit into the nuts and bolts of the halacha about Nusach Ashkenaz versus Nusach Svard, and what happens if a person finds himself in the opposite type of Nusach Shul that he davens in. So, number one, there's a very fascinating tshuva in the Igros Moshe, or Achayim Chelek Beis Siman Chav Gimel. So Rav Moshe has a very interesting story where there was someone, and I have to believe that this happens all the time. I was brought up, let's say, in a school or in a shul where we daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And my family, let's say, does not happen to be the case with me, but the story that Rav Moshe describes is, there was a person who davened in a shul that was Nusach Ashkenaz. He went to a school that davened Nusach Ashkenaz, and as a young child, his father didn't want to confuse him. So he didn't say anything that the family minig is to daven Nusach Svar. Okay, so he goes through all the years, and now he's a bachur in yeshiva, and he's continuing with the Nusach Ashkenaz, and finally, after many, many years of being away from the house, he comes home, and he finds out that his father, the old minig was that the father is supposed to be davening Nusach Svar. That's what the grandfather did. So he asked the father, why don't you ever tell me? So the father says, I didn't want to confuse you as a child. I didn't want you to be the outcast in yeshiva. But you should just know that our minhag is to daven Nusach Svard. So he wants to know, after all these years that he's been davening Nusach Ashkenaz, is it proper for him to switch back to Svard? Because that really is his family minhag. Or should we assume he should stick with what he's been doing all the years? So Rav Moshe writes something very interesting. Rav Moshe says that he really doesn't know the makor for davening Nusach Svard nowadays as we know it. Nusach Svard nowadays is not the Nusach that the Rishonim had, which they called Nusach Svard. And Rav Moshe says it's very strange that we don't really know where this originated from, where the Nusach HaTfila and Nusach Svard really began. So says Rav Moshe, until the times of the Chassidim a few hundred years ago, no one ever heard of this Nusach. So therefore Rav Moshe writes that really, he changed the family minhag. His grandfather's minhag really was to daven Ashkenaz. So his grandfather's the one who changed. You're not the one who changed. So he said, if a person has been accustomed in his life to davening Svard, so fine, he has what to rely on because he's from that tradition. However, if you, this individual young bachur who went to yeshiva all the years and who davened Nusach Ashkenaz, so he says, it's better to keep with the Nusach Ashkenaz and don't switch back to Svard. Stay the way you are and keep it like that. And although your father's davening Svard, you should daven Ashkenaz. A very interesting tshuva that Rav Moshe has. Obviously, everyone has to ask their own shaila, but it's a fascinating story that he raises. So now, what's the story with a person who davens Nusach Svard, and legitimately, he's allowed to, because his ancestor has davened Nusach Svard already for four or five generations. So the shaila is, what happens in a case where that individual is davening b'yichidus, not b'yichidus, but he's not the Shliach Tzibur. We'll get to the Shliach Tzibur tomorrow, probably, but if he happens to be a participant in a minyan which davens Nusach Ashkenaz, so what is the way that he is supposed to daven? So the sugi really begins as follows. In Parshas where we have a pasuk, Banam Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Right, the pasuk tells us we're all considered the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lo siskodidul lo siku karcha al ameis. So we have an iser in the Torah that literally means a person, since we are banim lamakim, since we follow the Ribbono Shel Olam, so therefore we're not allowed to go b'darkei hamori. And the psukim tell us we're not allowed to, after a mace passes away, we're not allowed to cut ourselves. We're not allowed to cut up our bodies, to mutilate ourselves at all. That is an improper way of responding to a tragedy or to a loss. So that's a simple interpretation of the pasuk. The Gemara, as we all know, quotes in the Gemara Nivama Staf Yedalid that we have an alternative explanation to this pasuk. Right? We have another explanation, which is Lo Sase Agudas Agudas, Lo Sis Godudu. Right? That's the drasha that we're all familiar with. So the Gra writes something which is very nice. He says in the Maaser Rav, in the back of the Maaser Rav, Rabbi Fine, I never looked in the Maaser Rav in my life till this summer. Before Rabbi Fine left, he bought me a sefer as a gift, a Maaser Rav and a Keser Rosh. So I figured he bought it as a gift, I better go through it. So I looked through, and look, it was worth it because I saw in the Maaser Rav two beautiful things that we're going to say tonight. So one is that the Maaser Rav writes that what is the big issue of Los Eskodidu? Why does it bother us so much? So he says, because HaPirid b'minhagim yavi l'pirid alavavus. The more a person makes differences between his fellow Jews sitting next to him, I have this minhag, you have that minhag, the more we split apart a minhagim, the more there's going to eternally, there's going to be a pirid alavavus, because the more we drift apart, so the more we don't feel together. So that's the way the Bir HaGra explains why we take this issue very seriously. I did see, in fact, that the Mefarshim are a little bit bothered that if the simple interpretation of the Pasuk is that a person, Los Eskodidu, a person is not allowed to cut his body over a mesa, how do we come to this far-fetched halacha of Los Asa Agudas Agudas? Right? It's a little bit strange, a little bit far from the Pshut of the Krat. We always try to stay with as much Pashup Shad as we can. So the Netziv gives a beautiful suggestion on Chumash and the Haimek Dover, as usual, he always does. So over here he writes something fascinating. He says, the reason why this really is Pashta Dikra is because look at the beginning of the Pasuk. What does it say? Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. You're all together. You're all Banim, you're all one family. And he says the same way in a family, the normal course of events is that the children generally are like their parents, the children are generally similar, doing the same types of things, they're raised in the same types of ways. So too over here, we're mandated in the Torah that because we are Banim L'Hashem Elokeichem, because we are all children of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're all part of the same family, so it's improper to have many different minhagim and doing many different types of things and to stick out of a crowd. That's the improper practice. So therefore says the Hamak Dover, it's really Pshuta the Krah. This is really the Pashta the Krah, that since Banam Atam Hashem Elokeichem, therefore the Gemara darshans in turn, Losasu Agudas Agudas. It's improper to break off from the Tzibur. And our Chaim, there is a Machlokes HaRishonim which is quoted by many of the Achronim, exactly what the reason behind the Isser Los Eskodidu is. The Rashi and many other Rishonim say it's because Nira Kishtei Torahs, it's going to look like we have two different religions. This person is following this halacha, this person is following that halacha. It's just going to look too strange, and if we're all living in one enclosed community, nowadays it's a little different because everyone has their own shul, everyone has their own thing. But if you went back to Europe where each community was pretty enclosed and there was one shul, so if there's one strange person who's not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so it sticks out. It looks like there's two different religions. So that's one reason that Rashi gives. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah writes a different reason, and the Rambam says because it's going to be marbe machlokes b'Yisrael. The more we start spreading apart, so the more machlokes there's going to be room for more machlokes to build up between different factions of Klal Yisrael. So these two reasons seem to sound very similar. However, there is a marked difference that the Netziv writes in the Meshav Dover. In his Tshuva Simon Yud Zayin, the Netziv points out a very stark contrast between Rashi's Pshat and the Rambam's Pshat. So says the Netziv as follows. In Arachayim Tav Tzadik Gimel, we find the Shulchan Aruch discusses four different minhagim about cutting your hair during Sfira. Whether you're allowed to cut the first half, second half, not at all, not in the first half, not in the second half, or the whole thing. So four different minhagim. Zok the Rama over there, and I quote, "V'lo yinhagu bi'ir achas miktsas minhagzeh, miktsas minhagzeh." If we're all part of one community, so it's not proper that some of the people should be cutting their hair the first half, some should be cutting their hair the second half, and we're going to be going to each other's weddings, and everyone's going to be making a joke out of the whole thing. It's not right. So obviously this doesn't really translate into our type of society, because over here we have many different rabbanim, many different shuls. So each one might be considered their own community. But within one community, for example, when I was in Neri Yisrael, so Baron Feldman used to get up every year and say, the minhag of the yeshiva is to keep this half of Sfira, whichever one it was, I don't remember. And he said, everyone in yeshiva, regardless of your minhag at home, we follow the Rama, that there's an issue of Los Eskodidu to start splitting within one campus, within one group of people. So he used to make a point to say that now we're all in yeshiva, and regardless of the minhag that you had at home, everyone should be careful to follow the minhag of yeshiva when it comes to Sfira. So that's what the Rama writes. The Magen Avraham right away jumps on the Rama and he says, I don't think this is correct. The Magen Avraham writes, the only time there's an Isser of Los Eskodidu is when we're talking about a Din Torah. The Torah said to do this, and you happen to be following a practice that says do that. So that's improper. You follow the Mako while they're following the Machmer. One right in front of the other, that's not correct. However, says the Magen Avraham, over here we're talking about Minhagim. You have a minute to cut your hair during this half of Sfira, you have a minute to cut your hair in that half of Sfira. By Minhagim, I wouldn't say there's an Isser Los Eskodidu. That's what the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Sfira Se'omer. So the Karanara on Yavamas, Daf Yudalit, as well as the Meshav Dabra and the Tshuva, Simon Yud Zayin, both point out the same thing. they feel that this machlokes between the Rama and the Magen Avraham, whether we have an issue of losis godudu by a minig, really is based on the machlokes harishonim of what the whole basis of the issur losis godudu really is. If you learn like Rashi that the issur losis godudu is because it looks like it's shtei Torahs, it looks like it's two different religions, so that's only when we're talking about a din Torah, but when we're talking just about a minig, so it doesn't look so bad. People know it's just a minig. It's not the same as a real din. So that's the way the Achronim explain. However, if you learn like the Rambam, that the issue that we're always worried about is that it's going to cause machlokes, that it's going to cause fighting and pirud and klal Yisrael. So it doesn't make a difference if it's a din Torah, if it's in the din derabbanan, if it's only a minig, it doesn't make a difference. The more we separate from each other, the more we're going to leave room for machlokes. And therefore they explain, that's why the Rama believes that even when it comes to a minig, we would be careful not to stick out from each other, because we try as much as we can to save ourselves from a machlokes. So how does this translate with regard to Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svart, which is in fact what the Netziv is talking about in his tshuva there? So if you look at the Mishneh Berurah, Hilchos Tesim and Samaches, the Mishneh Berurah writes the following. HaMenhagim Shenaga B'Tfila Ein L'Shanos Kalachan Miminik Mekomo. Says the Mishneh Berurah, if I have a minik to daven Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Svart, I should keep doing what I do. Like we said yesterday, there are 12 gates to Shemayim. Each one is supposed to daven his own nusach to get up his own way. Dina says the Mishneh Berurah, "Hamispalim im asvardim alahepach yatzir dechavas tefila." Even if I daven in a shul that doesn't particularly daven my nusach, I'm makayim my mitzvah. I was makayim my mitzvah of tefila b'tzibur. Everything's fine. That's the opinion of the Mishneh Berurah. That is the opinion of the Shalom Eishiv. That's the opinion of Reb Shlomo Zalman in the Halicha Shlomo as well. However, this is not so simple at all. This is not a simple thing. I'm not here to tell anyone what to do. I'm just laying out that there are many different opinions with regard to this issue. When you have a person who davens a different nusach than the shul itself, this is not a simple issue at all. The Gra writes, as quoted in the Pasuk Shulchan, it was the big Talmud of the Gra, Yechidim Ashkenazim hamispalim bebeis haknesses shel hasvardim. If you have an Ashkenazi who davens in a Svardish shul, Asur lahem l'shanos minusach hatzibur. You may not daven. There's an isser of losis godudu to differentiate, to distinguish yourself from the tzibur. If the whole entire tzibur is davening a certain nusach, you have no right to single yourself out and daven a different nusach. Even though...
Is that nusach
svard, he means. Ashkenaz and svard. Yeah, we'll see in a minute. So the Meshiv Dabar quotes this. The Netziv quotes this in the Meshiv Dabar. I mean, we're going to discuss it in a minute. The Netziv quotes this in the Meshiv Dabar. And he thinks that this ruling of the Gra is a little bit extreme, to tell a person he's not allowed to daven just because he's davening in a different nusach shul, so he's not allowed to daven his nusach that he's used to his whole life. He thinks a little bit extreme. For those who follow the Gra, obviously you have to follow him here too. But for those who don't, the Netziv writes, he thinks it's a little bit extreme. Zok the Netziv, al pidin, I think the ruling should be the following. By tefilas lachash, he says, when I'm davening quiet Shemona Esrei, do whatever you normally do. No one's going to hear you, no one cares, no one's going to notice, do what you want. That's being done in private, and it's only a minig. So he says, when we come to Minhagim, so again, we said that Rush believes that there's no Isser of Losis Godudu at all by a minig. So therefore, over here he says that there's no Isser of Losis Godudu here. And when it comes to, even if you learn like the Rambam, that we're concerned of breaking apart a machlekes, so he says, when it's Tfilas Lachash, no one's going to hear you, it's not going to cause any fighting, everything's fine. However, he says, when it comes to Kedusha B'Kol Ram, when it comes to saying Kedusha out loud with the Tzibur, so then you're going to have these guys screaming Kesar, these guys screaming Naritzcha, everyone's doing something else. He says that's going to cause a big fight, and therefore over there we should try to do the Nusach of the Tzibur, we shouldn't stick to our guns. We should do whatever the Tzibur does, because that is a noticeable change in the davening. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in our Achayim Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Dalid, which is the same Chelek that has the other one, but 100 tshuvas later, that he says, Psuke de Zimra, although Psukah de Zimra, we generally say quietly, there's a big chiddush of Rav Moshe. He says, Nusach Svart starts with Hoidu, Nusach Ashkenaz starts with Baruch Sha'amar. He says, a person who's davening in an Ashkenaz shul should not start with Hoidu. He should daven Psukah de Zimra like everyone else. Why, says Rav Moshe? First, Shetshuva is one paragraph long, the whole thing is very easy to read. Chelek Beis, Arachayim, Simen Kuf Dalet. Look it up. Rav Moshe writes the following. Since Psukah de Zimra, many people say it out loud, and there's no din that has to be said b'lachash. Shemona Esrei has to be said quietly, but Psukah de Zimra, very often, you know, you sit here in the morning, this guy starts Hoidu, that guy starts this, this one's standing at this point in Psukah de Zimra, he's up to Baruch Shamar now, he's up to Mizmor L'Soda later. So Rav Moshe says, when it comes to Psukah de Zimra, it's a very noticeable difference between the people who daven Ashkenaz and Sfard, And therefore, says our Moshe, either way, in either situation, if I'm davening in a shul that's davening the other opposite nusach from what I generally am accustomed to daven, Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, I should not recite Psukah de Zimra the way I generally do it. Because he says, there is an Isra of Losis God to do with regard to things that stick out, that people will notice. We're afraid of a machlokes. So he says, therefore, we should try our best to blend in with the tzibur as much as possible. I saw in the Echav Edas, Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva, where he quotes some achronim that say, when it comes to Kedusha as well, a person has to be careful, like we said a little bit, the Meshav Darwa discusses this, but when it comes to Kedusha, Rav Avadia quotes that when it comes to Keser and Naritzcha, you have to make sure to blend in with the tzibur. So Rav Avadia takes issue with this, and he feels that it's not so necessary because he brings a raya from Ilchus Kriyashma, that we know during Kriyashma you're allowed to be mafsik at certain points, you're allowed to be mafsik for Kedusha. So what are you supposed to say? When you're mafsik for Kedusha, which parts of Kedusha are you supposed to recite? Only Kaddish and Baruch, but you don't recite Naritzcha and Keser. If you're in the middle of Kriyashma, you only recite the Psukim themselves. So says Rav Avadia, you see from there that Naritzcha and Keser is not a part of Kedusha. So once it's not a part, so then who cares if you stick out during those parts of Kedusha? As long as you're doing the Ikra part of Kedusha together with everyone else, so that's good enough. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that he's not talking to Rav Avadia. Obviously, they weren't discussing this with each other, but not obviously, they did live at the same time, but they're not. So Rav Moshe does write in a tshuva that he feels this is improper. He says, because obviously, once we were misaking to say all these piyutim along with the Kedusha, so it becomes a chelek of Kedusha. A person would never say, now Ritzcha on his own b'yichidus at home. Of course not, he only says it b'tzibur. So it's a part of Kedusha. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, if you want to blend into the tzibur and be a part of them, so Rav Moshe says that you should be careful to say the same parts of Kedusha as they're saying. If they're saying Keser, you should recite it along with them. If they're saying Naritzcha, you should recite it with them. One last point Rav Moshe makes, which is a different volume in Igros Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Dalid, Simon Chav Dalid, Rav Moshe has an Atshuva, which is something we find very often that people don't do, that if you're davening in the opposite Nusach of Shul, if let's say you're davening in Ashkenaz Shul, for argument's sake, and you happen to be Nusach Svard, and before Tachanun you say Vidui. This is an obvious example, and Rav Moshe writes, you have no right, you have every right to say Vidui, that's fine. A person could say it quietly, the same way he says Shmona Esrei quietly, but he says to go and hit your chest with your arm, that makes it a very obvious statement that you're doing differently from the tzibur. Therefore, says Rav
what?
So they point out that it's a little bit of a steer in Rav Moshe, because Rav Moshe writes by Psukah de Zimra, even though most people say it quietly, but since some people say it out loud, it's a problem. Over here, new. So Rav Moshe writes that a person should be careful when it comes to vidui. That's a tricky point, because that's something that many people notice, and it's something that is obviously going to stick out from what the rest of the tzibur is doing. So this was part two of the Hakdama for the...
Let's have a flip on that case.
Yeah?
Do you have to say more than the Ashamnu and the Yikimomi does? Do you have to say the other parts in between? Especially since people in the Nusach Sfarad...
You know how to say it much faster. Yeah. It's like when you're in a shul that says piyutim. God knows how they say it so fast, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But I don't know what the din is in that case. But this is just the part two of the Hakdama, and hopefully tomorrow night we will finish off and discuss what does a shliach tzibur do who happens to daven. Like we said, you're allowed to daven tefilas lachash the way you generally daven, but what happens when you're the shliach tzibur and you want to daven tefilas lachash in nusach svard and you want to daven chazaras hashatz in nusach ashkenaz? We'll get to that tomorrow.